If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, just want to read a couple of verses from the end of that chapter. Psalm 86 verse 9 says, "All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name." In the book of Luke, chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, we have the story of Jesus and two sisters. Now, I know we probably know this story very well, but I'd like to draw our attention to a couple of things from this. In verse 38 of chapter 10 of Luke, "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister hath left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Matt read earlier from Matthew 28, verse 16 through verse 20. And last week, Pastor Chris mentioned the first verse in the message that he preached from Acts 23. In verse 11, he mentioned the Lord talking about my cause at Jerusalem. And then he mentioned my cause at Rome. Chris's message touched on the aspect of missions. Grace Chapel, I believe, is a church which seeks to reach out not only in this area, but through Kenan Wells and others as they've gone to different places. Missions, I believe, is on the heart of God. And actually, if you notice on the back page of our bulletin that the first Sunday of next week is a Missions Sunday. We're going to be drawing attention to some things there. Missions, I believe, is on the heart of God. John Piper, in his book that he wrote a few years ago on missions, made a statement that I guess when I first heard it, I wondered a little bit about it, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought this is true. John Piper wrote, he said, "Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't." I think John Piper hit the nail on the head. I guess looking back at my own life, Sherry and I spent 34 years overseas working in missions, and I guess I've probably always looked at missions from the command obedience aspect, and that is scriptural. But the more I thought about missions, the more I thought about what John Piper has written here, looking at missions from the view of worship, God is glorified God is worshiped because of who he is, because of what he's done for us. Salvation is just a part of that whole aspect of worship. But you know, worship should lead us to service. And I believe as we corporately gather together, and not only as we corporately gather together, but as families, as we worship the Lord, as couples, as individuals, as we worship God, our worship should really have an outworking in our own lives, a seeking to bring others to the point that they would desire to worship as well. Looking at, and the word worship is not used in this portion in Luke chapter 10. But in looking at Martha and looking at Mary and looking at some of the things that we can learn from this, verse 42, he says, "But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Three things I want to look at this morning. Jesus said here that whether we want to call it worship or discipleship or spending time with the Lord or whatever the phrase is that we desire to use, worship is necessary or worship is needful. Second, worship is chosen. And last, and I just find the longer that I've been a Christian, brothers and sisters, worship is good. As we worship the Lord, as we see him for who he is. And so worship, first of all, is needful. It seems to me that Jesus is bringing out in this portion of Scripture that there are at least two different kinds of people. So I look at my wife, Sherry, and I look at me. I'm a Mary. Sherry is a Martha. And for many of you, perhaps you can slot yourself in. Are you the one that kind of serves, helps, looks to what needs doing and seeks to get involved that way? Or are you somebody that maybe a church conference, or are you really taken up with speakers and the topics and the scripture and the worship and whatever it is that the conference is bringing out? Mary and Martha. Martha's serving. Mary is seated at the feet of Jesus. Now, there's nothing wrong with either one of them, is there? There's a place for worship, and there's a place for service. But here, the question is, what was the priority for the time that this was actually taking place? And I believe that the priority here was for worship, not for service. It was for sitting at the feet of Jesus, not for making sure that the meal was okay and the house was clean and all of the different things. And I want us to look a little bit at both of these sisters. So there's nothing wrong with either person's condition, but what was the priority at this time? Look at Martha. Look at her focus. Her focus was on serving. That was good. Her focus was on working. That was good. One of the translations for verse 40 says, she was cumbered about with much serving. Here this says, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She was aggravated. She was agitated. She was actually angry at Mary, and really in the way that this is brought out, I believe she was angry at Jesus, because Jesus should have seen that she was doing all this and she needed help. And what does Jesus say here? Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. It says back in verse 40, Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She came up to him, that is Jesus, and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. Now, there was nothing wrong with what Martha was doing. It wasn't sinful that she wanted to serve. It wasn't sinful that she wanted to have a meal, that she wanted to have everything sorted out, that everything would be good. There wasn't anything wrong, but that wasn't the priority. And the condition of Martha was anything but what it should have been. We find there was no joy that she had in serving. In Psalm 100 and verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. It's interesting, the Tuesday after New Year's, some of you have been to our community that we live in. We live in a duplex, and there are 50 similar duplexes on the same property. And we are the last one to be re-sited. And so the Tuesday after New Year's, a group of volunteers came in and they started tearing all of the old siding off and the trim, and they found some evidence of termites that had been at work, and they kind of had to do a little bit of repair work. And we've had hammers pounding from just after 8 until 4:30, quarter to 5. It's been a mess around our house. The reason that I bring this up is there is one man, he's from Michigan, and he's come down for quite a number of years, and he's helped to re-site many of the places, and so he's pretty cluey as far as what's going on. He's always the first one there. He's always the one that's lining up. There's a group of 5 or 6 that are working on the duplex, and he's the one that's kind of coordinating who's going to do what and where they're going to go. We always know when he's there, when he shows up first. You know how we know? Because he's singing hymns to himself. He just loves what he's doing. He's joyful, it doesn't, and he's out there just singing away. And it's interesting. But he has a joy in what he's doing. Martha, I'm sure, was probably gritting her teeth, her mind going a mile a minute. I've got all these things to do. Jesus doesn't care. My sister doesn't care. If she cared, she'd be here to help me. And so she goes to Jesus thinking that Jesus will tell her sister to go and help her. And Jesus tells her just about the opposite. She was worried. She was bothered about so many things. No gladness. No gladness in service. Distracted. The solution? Martha could have done the same as Mary did. She could have sat at the feet of Jesus. She could have listened. She could have learned. She could have worshiped. But instead, she got so taken up with things that she felt were very important, I'm sure. And yet the need at that time was to spend time with the Lord. Look at Mary. Mary worshiped at the feet of Jesus. I believe through this time, not a whole lot is said about Mary. But I believe Mary enjoyed her time with the Lord. She was focused on spending time with Him. She was focused on seeing what Jesus was going to say. And I believe as a result of times of service, or as the result of times of worship, that our service is even better as we've spent the time with the Lord. And so nothing wrong with service, but the priority at this point was worship. And so Jesus said, one thing is necessary. The second thing he says here, he says, for Mary has chosen the good part. Mary had a choice. Mary could have chipped in, helped with the meal, helped with getting things sorted out, made sure everything was okay. She had a choice, and she made a deliberate choice to spend time with the Lord. Mary chose worship. Martha chose service. Nothing wrong with worship. Nothing wrong with service. But what was the priority at that time? If the Lord Jesus was here today, would you rather be preparing a meal for Him? Or would you rather be wanting to hear Him, wanting to be with Him, wanting to spend that time with Him? What about us? Sometimes we can be so wrapped up in service that we don't have time for worship. Now we're doing the work of the Lord. It's a little adage, I guess, or saying. Sometimes we're so taken up with the work of the Lord that we don't take time for the Lord of the work. And there needs to be that balance of worship, adoration, praise, that time of spending with the Lord, that God would truly minister to our hearts. But sometimes we're so wrapped up in service that we don't have time for worship. How do you spend your time? How do I spend my time? Do we give attention daily to worship? I think sometimes our definition of worship is too narrow. And we could go into the topic of the message is not particularly to go into a long dissertation on what worship is and what worship isn't. I mean, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 talks about our spiritual worship of giving our body as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Other places in the scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, talk about giving attention to worship. I wonder, as individuals, those of us who know Christ as our Lord and Savior, do we spend time daily in the Word of God? Do we spend time daily in prayer? I find that in the past, I have for quite a number of years, I would read through the entire scripture in a 12-month period of time. And the last couple of years, I've been doing some other things, but this year I thought I'm going to go back and I'm going to go ahead and just read from Genesis. And actually, each day I have a reading in the Old Testament, have a reading in the New Testament, have a reading in Psalms, and have a reading in Proverbs, which takes me through the whole scripture in 12 months. I would encourage you, if you've not done that, this is only the 21st of January of this year, and it's not too late to start if you've not done something like that. You remember in Acts chapter 17, talks about Paul traveling, and he was with the Berean Christians, and it talks about the fact that the Berean Christians searched the scriptures daily. Now, what scriptures would they have been looking at? Well, they must have been looking predominantly at the Old Testament, because vast portions of the New Testament wouldn't have been written at that particular point in time. We have the whole Bible. We have the Holy Spirit, which indwells us, who is our teacher, who will lead us into all truth. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, it talks about the Lord Jesus, and early in the day, he would get up and spend time with his Father. Prayer. I read a statistic, and this statistic is probably a little bit old, but it said the average adult in the United States spends at least 4 hours a day in front of the TV. And yet, and for many, it's probably a lot more than 4 hours. And yet, for many Christians, we won't take 15 minutes to sit down and read our Bible, to spend time with our Father, to spend time with the Lord. Well, individually, we could talk about as families and family worship, spending time together in the Word together, talking about the Lord and talking about the scripture. Our public worship. I don't know about you. When I'm not able to be here, I miss it. And really, the only reason that I'm not here is if I'm sick or I'm not in the area. And I look forward to the corporate worship where we come together and we worship the Lord. I believe that some people go out of habit, but I believe for the majority of us that are here, our public church, our public worship, we need to have a right attitude, a right motive. Remember the church in Revelation, the Laodicean church, the last of the seven churches. Christ makes a comment as he writes to that church collectively. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's outside of the church. Why? Because it appears like they don't want him there. They're running their own program. They've got their own things to do. They've got everything sorted out. Everything is figured out. I don't believe that's Grace Chapel. I value my time corporately, Sunday by Sunday. I value singing the songs that we sing, publicly hearing the Word of God as it's read, hearing Pastor Mike lead us in prayer, hearing godly men as they preach from the Word of God and seek to edify and lift us up and seek to get us to turn to Christ regardless of what our situation, what our problems are. I value that. I look forward to it, and I look forward to continuing in the future. And so we have a choice for worship. We can choose not to worship, or we can choose to worship, not just publicly here, but in our own homes, as we're out and about, whatever we're doing. I find that sometimes I probably spend more prayer as I'm driving sometimes than I do actual segments of time when I may be home. And so worship, Christ said, was necessary. Worship was chosen. But lastly, he says, worship is good. I don't know, the longer that, and I became a Christian in 1964, so you can figure out how many years I've been a Christian. And for a long period of time in my Christian life, I would put myself down as a Christian that probably was very law-oriented, a Christian that was very regimented, that kind of set things up. This is the way things should be. And the longer that I've been a Christian, probably in the 1980s, the Lord began to bring to me the doctrines of grace, showing me more of the grace of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, all of those aspects of God, and to see how much he loves me and you, and just to become overwhelmed with who he is and what he's done. And time spent with him, I find so much of the time, it's just so good. And when I don't spend that time, I get like Martha. I'm distracted. I don't know all of the things that are here about Martha. Martha was taken up with the dinner. She was taken up with making sure everything was okay. Mary was taken up with the Lord Jesus. I find that sometimes when we may get together for fellowship, that sometimes we don't have people over because we think we need to put a big banquet out. My daughter married an Italian, New York City Italian. They're very family oriented. And it was interesting, we were visiting with our daughter and son-in-law when they lived in Poughkeepsie, New York. And his brother, who's a police officer in one of the local police departments, he wanted us and his brother and his wife to come over and just spend some time. And so we went over. And time went on, and he said, well, let's have something to eat. He went into the refrigerator. He got some sausage. He got some peppers, green peppers. He cut the green peppers up, fried the sausage, fried the green peppers, got some rolls out. We had sausage, green peppers on rolls. He didn't care. He wanted to spend time. He didn't care what we ate. And I'll tell you, what he fixed was really, really good. Wasn't much, but it was really, really good. You know, I think sometimes if we just put a bowl of soup on, have a piece of bread with some butter on it, and have some real fellowship, it's better than having a Christmas turkey meal together. What's more important? Are we getting together to show what we can cook? How big a meal we can fix? Or are we getting together to have fellowship? To talk about the Lord Jesus? To talk about what he's doing in our lives? To share about what he's teaching us in his word? Worship is good. And as we spend time with the Lord, I've said this before, I said it as I've been teaching through Psalm 119 from time to time in Sunday school. I've probably cried more in the last half of my Christian life than I did in my whole first part of my Christian life. And it's not been tears of sadness, but it's been tears of just being overwhelmed with the great God that we have. Sherry and I, as just about all of you know, have gone through the last 3 years where Sherry had 8 surgical procedures. She had 6 major chemo treatments. She had 33 radiation treatments. She lost nearly all of her fingernails. She had sores in her mouth and in her throat. She had pain in her bones. We wouldn't want to go through that again. Praise God, she's been over a year now cancer-free. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't have wanted to miss what God has had to show us and to teach us through that time. And the Lord is still using, particularly my wife, and so many cancer patients' lives. Tears of joy. We were coming back from and I'm not too much on a lot of the secular contemporary Christian music, but we put the local, 88.3 Z radio on in the car coming home from one of the appointments that she had, and I can't remember if this was in the beginning. I came on with a song that really ministered my heart. It was called Just Be Held. And it was as though the song was just saying, not so much you need to be doing, but just let the Lord hold you. What you're going through, what you're experiencing, just be held. And to think of Christ holding us, to think of Christ being sovereign of what we're going through, it makes all the difference in the world. Mary please Jesus. Mary spent time with Jesus. Mary was affected, I believe, by the time that she spent with Jesus. I believe Mary had a good time. Martha, not so much, but Martha could have chosen the same. In our situation as a church, as families, as individuals, I believe the closer we are to Jesus, the happier we are. Time with Him and time with each other is good. Well, for you and I, we've talked about missions at the beginning of our time together. And really, worship should lead to service, to being used by our Lord. And so we come back to missions. Worship should lead us to service, to mission. Personally, I'd like to see Grace Chapel sending out more missionaries from our own midst. We've already sent out Ken. And maybe there's some here, maybe some of our young people, that God could be leading to take the gospel to others, both here and overseas. What's the purpose? We want to see them come to know the Lord and worship Him and sit at His feet. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, then He said to His disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest. The priority of worship that leads to service, both here and around the world. So remember, worship is necessary, worship is chosen, and most of all, worship is good. Let's pray. Our Father, as we have drawn our attention to Your Word, we've only really scratched the surface, I know, of even just this portion in Luke chapter 10. I pray that You might challenge us with our own lives, our own service, our own worship, and may we see that in the priority of our life, worship is necessary. Worship is chosen.